forward at this time because we're going to be doing the right now. But I'm going to talk a little bit while I'm announcing before I can move forward. We'll be talking about unity throughout this morning service. And we'll continue the theme with our meal after the service. Favorite song is Jesus Help Us Live in Peace, which if you want to look at the lyrics is page 52 in the green book. The original title actually is Unity. And the second verse of the song usually makes me pause a little bit. The lyrics are, many times we disagree over what's right or wrong to do. It's so hard to really see from the other's point of view. And I need really frequent reminders that my perspective on what is happening is not the only one, nor is it necessarily the right one. And largely because it's a lot easier to hear somebody agree with you than it is to disagree. And so often we surround ourselves with like-minded people, which is completely understandable, but that contributes to bubbles. Created in God's image, that doesn't mean that I am created in God's image and the rest of you are just pretending and we're not actually created in God's image. It means that literally all of us are created in God's image. So that each of us reflects a bit of Christ to the world. And as such, we should treat each other as if each of us are Christ. I wonder how much it would change our conversations if we actually put that into practice, because it's great theoretically, but it's a lot harder to do practically. And if we would do that and pretend that who we're talking to is Christ, if we would do that on a daily basis with everyone we encounter. So with that, if you have an announcement, you can come up. Nobody? Okay, well, there is going to be a meal after church, and there'll be some instructions at the end about that. So we'll do the call to worship, which... Is there another slide up there that has white and blue writing on it? Well, meanwhile... Okay, so I will be saying the things that are in white, and you all will be saying the things in blue, but before we actually say them, I'm going to take a moment so you guys can all read it, so you know what you're saying before we say it. I tell you this, it is a wonderful thing when members of the family live together in love and peace.
They shall be like trees planted beside flowing rivers.
May the church be one, just as Christ and God are one, that Christ may be glorified in us.
They shall yield good fruit in season, and their leaves shall never wither.
The grace, mercy, and peace of the Lord Jesus be with you all.
And also with you.
So, Roger, if you could leave that up, that slide up for a second. I believe that many of you are familiar with the practice of passing the peace. When I was in South Africa, we would pass the peace in every church that we went to. And I very much grew to appreciate the practice. It took a little bit. So typically when you pass the peace, one person says to another something along the lines of the last stanza, the last bit that we just read. So, the peace of the Lord be with you. And then the person responds with, and also with you. And in that interchange, you like shake hands or fist bump or high five or hug or, you know, acknowledge that you're talking to another person in some way, shape, or form. So, while we're gonna do that. So, if you need a reminder of what to say, you can look up there, the last part, and the peace of the Lord be with you, and also with you would be the response. So please rise and greet pass the peace with those around you.
Turn in your hymnal to number 651. Number 651.
For God so loved us, He sent us here.
So I'll be reading John 17, 1 through 11. After Jesus had spoken these words, he looked up to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, so that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all people, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do. So now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had in your presence before the world existed. I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words that you gave to me I have given to them, and they have received them, and know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you, Holy Father. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one.
Children, come forward for children's story.
Today would be a good day for ice cream too, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
think about that. Last week, one of you said, it's so nice of this, you have a hole here. So, to be together, to learn about Jesus is really important. And one of the things that Jesus teaches us is to love each other so that other people know that we love him. Okay, next. This is one of the posters. One of the posters, you want to come stand up with the sign here so you can see? One of the posters that are up there, it says that a classmate is. It says, enough love for all. Very much love. Enough for everybody, ready to share. You are not alone. Open to everyone. Nobody is left out. Everybody is included. And that says everyone. The next one. And around some of your bulletin boards is a picture of children from all over the world. The next one. And there's a picture down there that shows Jesus blessing the children. And there are lots of different children. He loves us all. He wants us to love each other. Okay, just go through the next three. Okay. Thank you. Then you can go back to your parents.
We might have our drama crew up here, please.
This story concerns a monastery that had fallen upon hard times. Once a great order, all its branch houses were lost over time, and it had shrunk to the extent that there were only 5 monks left in the decaying mother house, the abbot and 4 others, all over 70 in age. Clearly, it was a dying order. In the deep woods surrounding the monastery, there was a little hut that a rabbi from a nearby town occasionally used for his retreats. Through many years of prayer and contemplation, the old monks became a bit psychic, so they could always sense when the rabbi was in his hut.
The rabbi is in the woods.
The rabbi is in the woods,
the monks would whisper to each other as he agonized over the imminent death of his order. It occurred to the abbot at one such time to visit the rabbi in his hut and ask him for any possible advice he could offer that might save the dying order. The rabbi welcomed the abbot into his hut, but when the abbot explained the purpose of his visit, the rabbi could only commiserate with him.
I know how it is. The spirit has gone out of the people. It is the same in my congregation. Almost no one comes to the synagogue anymore.
So the old abbot and the old rabbi wept together. Then they read parts of the Torah and quietly spoke of deep things. The time came when the abbot had to leave. They embraced each other. And then the abbot said,
"It has been a wonderful thing that we should meet after all these years, but I've still failed in my purpose for coming here. Is there nothing you can tell me? No piece of advice you can give me that will help me save my dying order?"
"No, I am sorry. I have no advice to give. The only thing I can tell you, if it is of any help, is that the Messiah is one of you."
"I could have sworn I just heard you say the Messiah is one of us."
I did. I said, the Messiah is one of you.
Okay, whatever.
When the abbot returned to the monastery, his fellow monks gathered around him.
Well, what did the rabbi say?
He couldn't help. We just wept and read the Torah together. The only thing he did say as I left, and this is really weird, was that the Messiah was one of us. I don't know what he meant by that.
Ha! The Messiah is one of us? I missed my chance to be sinless long ago.
The Messiah is one of us? I wonder what he was smoking.
In the days and weeks and months that followed, the old monks pondered this and wondered whether there was any possible significance to the rabbi's strange words.
The Messiah is one of us? Could he possibly have meant one of us monks here at the monastery? If that's the case, which one? Do you suppose he meant the abbot? Yes, if he meant anyone, he probably meant Father Abbot. He has been our leader for more than a generation.
On the other hand, he might have meant Brother Thomas. Certainly, Brother Thomas is a holy man. Everyone knows that Thomas is a man of light.
Certainly, he could not have meant Brother Elred. Oh, I'd get so cranky at times. But come to think of it, even though he's a thorn in people's sides, when you look back on it, Elred is almost always right, often very right. Maybe the rabbi did mean Brother Elred.
But surely not Brother Philip. Philip is so passive, a real nobody. But then, almost mysteriously, he has a gift for somehow always being there right just when you need him. He just magically appears by your side. Maybe Philip is the Messiah.
Of course, the rabbi didn't mean me. He couldn't possibly have meant me. I'm just an ordinary person. Yet suppose he did. Suppose I am the Messiah.
Oh, God, not me. I couldn't be that much for you, could I?
As he contemplated in this manner, the old monks began to treat each other with extraordinary respect. On the off chance that each monk himself might be the Messiah, they began to treat themselves with extraordinary respect. Because the forest in which it was situated was so beautiful, it so happened that people still occasionally came to visit the monastery gardens, to picnic on its tiny lawn, to wander along some of its paths, even now and then to go into the dilapidated chapel to meditate. As they did so, without even being conscious of it, they sensed this aura of extraordinary respect that now began to surround the five old monks and seemed to radiate from them and permeate the atmosphere of the place.
What is it about this place? There's something attractive and compelling here. It's not just the trees or the chapel.
You make it sound like Jesus was here, rather than a handful of old monks.
That's it. It's those old monks. There's something Christ-like about them. Or when they're around, I feel like there's something Christ-like about myself.
Now maybe you'll be willing to go off and join them.
Well, it wouldn't hurt to at least talk to them.
After a while, he did join them, then another and another. Within a few years, the monastery once again became a thriving order and, thanks to the rabbi's gift, a vibrant center of light and spirituality in the realm.
Number 16.
My briefer message this morning will focus on the words of Jesus, his prayer for us that we just heard, that they, meaning us, might be one, even as we, he and the Father, are one. Now, if you have ever struggled with the problem and the persistence of unanswered prayer, you are in very good company. Today we heard one of Jesus' two unanswered prayers. And Jesus prayed both of them in the same evening. The second, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, knowing that his enemies and executioners were approaching, and he prayed, "Father, let this cup pass from me." And we know that that cup of suffering did not pass from him. But then the next prayer of his in the same breath was, "Not my will be done, but yours." The other unanswered prayer of Jesus was the one that we just heard, that I just mentioned, that they may be one even as you and I are one. That was his prayer for all his disciples, a prayer for unity, a unity such as Jesus the Son knows with his Heavenly Father through the Holy Spirit. Now, how do we square that prayer for unity with what Wikipedia says, that there are about 38,000 different Christian denominations in the world today? Well, if unity means a perfect uniformity of opinion on everything, then we would all have to be God. For only God knows the entire truth on any matter. As for us mortals, limited and partial as we are, we shall have to wait for the day when we shall know, even as we are known by God. If Jesus was praying for a complete uniformity or a unity of authority and accountability and organization in the church, such that we all relate to the same leadership and hierarchy going back to, say, Rome or Elkhart, Indiana, well, I mean, not only has that proven impossible, I'm not sure that it would even be necessary. Christ is the head of his church worldwide, and his headquarters then are in every heart that has received him and in our midst as well. Now, we could say that Jesus' prayer for our complete and perfect unity in opinion and in organization relationship will have its fulfillment in the next world as the answer to our weekly, daily prayer on earth as it is in heaven is finally fully granted. I'm not aware that around the table at the wedding feast of the Lamb there will be separate seating for Catholic, Protestant, Orthodox, or Anabaptist believers. Or when the New Jerusalem descends, I'm not up to unite heaven and earth. I'm not aware that there will be segregated neighborhoods in that new city. I believe that even here and now, then, there can be a unity among Christians that goes much deeper than the differences of opinion or of denominational labels or other labels like progressive or conservative or left or right or Protestant, Catholic, Anabaptist or Orthodox, by which we so often identify and thereby divide ourselves. And compared to this other deeper unity that I believe is possible, all these other labels then become, at least in my opinion, rather superficial and incomplete, even misleading. In the absence of a complete uniformity of opinion on everything and a complete unity of organization and accountability, I see two possible kinds of unity for us yet. And Jesus exhibited this first kind of unity even as he prayed for our unity. And it is a unity that we experience as our faith and our focus are upon God. As Jesus then that night was drawing towards his Heavenly Father in prayer, he brings us along with him. So as we draw nearer to Christ
in prayer and in worship, so do we also draw nearer to everyone else who is drawing nearer to Him. Our unity in Christ then is like the unity that the different spokes in a wheel approach as they all approach the hub or the axle in the middle of that wheel. Think of that hub or that axle like Christ Himself. And if at points further out along the spokes, those spokes try to draw near to each other for the sake of their togetherness, well, that wheel is going to be out of balance and will need to be retuned. In a similar way, it is as we draw closer to the center, to Christ, that we are most drawing most closely to each other. And so if some visitor from a distant galaxy were to suddenly drop onto our planet and start poking around among all the different places and cultures and cities in the world where people gather, if he were to go to their churches, I think that, first of all, as he would see the great differences if he went to, say, a cathedral in Rome, or to a Pentecostal church in Jamaica, or to an African independent church where everyone dances during worship, or then to an Amish church where they are most definitely not dancing, they would see great differences indeed in expressions. But give that visitor a little time, and I think he would also be struck as the similarities emerge and as he sees that they are all expressing a same love and loyalty to the same Lord. Maybe this would strike him as he realized they're all praying the same prayer that Jesus taught. They're drawing nearer to Jesus with the very words that Jesus gave us. And in there, they are most powerfully experiencing and expressing their deepest underlying unity. Not by looking at each other necessarily and trying to get closer together, but by all looking to Christ and drawing nearer to Him. That's the first kind of unity I think we can have, regardless of name or label or ideology. As for the second kind of unity, that was the point of the drama that we all just heard about, the monks treating each other as though they suspected that that person was Christ. It's a kind of unity that struck me when our family lived in the Detroit metropolitan area about 25 years ago. And that area has so many diverse ethnic and religious groups that you would think everyone in the world must have a distant relative somewhere near Detroit. And you would think then, because of all this human diversity, it would be hard for everyone to get on the same page. And there is a lot of bad history in Detroit around race and labor. So while I was working to plant a church there, I thought one way to get into the community was to offer some classes in their public school system's community ed programs. And I did offer one on West African cultural influences. And that appealed to the large African-American population there. But there was another one that I offered entitled Our Diverse City. Sort of a pun, our diversity, our diverse city. It was to highlight all the historic ethnic communities and differences and heritages in the area. One could offer a long class on that. It never happened. For one thing, only one person signed up for it. But another thing was that I realized I was guilty of a serious intellectual confusion. I had not thought through it very well. Because at the same time that I was exploring and enjoying all this ethnic, religious diversity in the community, and there's much to enjoy, there was also a rash of carjackings. Now, all these carjackings had nothing to do with Detroit's ethnic diversity. The victims and the perpetrators of these crimes came from all across the ethnic differences and spectrums. It was a crime of opportunity, not identity. But there was a kind of diversity that I had not recognized or thought on. It was a diversity of values. Some people evidently thought that it was okay to wave a gun in someone's face and scare them out of their car and drive it off. Generally, the victims did not. That was when you could not say, hey, different strokes for different folks. Then I realized that what I was really celebrating in my and enjoying in our explorations of Detroit's diversity was that these different groups and cultures still observed and embodied and celebrated the same few key values for how they were to treat each other and how they wanted to be treated. They were all still embodying and expressing in some way or another love, respect for persons and property, covenants and commitments to your community, to the family, to the generations past and present and to come, and to telling each other the truth. So where, for example, our daughters went to school, the monthly meetings of the PTA looked like a General Assembly of the United Nations. But that was because they all valued their children and education. And when we attended city council meetings and neighborhood watches, again, all these different kinds of people shared a value around the neighborhood and their personal safety and that of their property. They had all these wonderful different cuisines, and they all enjoyed sharing good food in good company. So our diversity of customs and cultures and cuisines all pointed to a few values that we could all unite around about how we expected to be treated and to treat each other, like the monks in today's drama. So if I were to offer that kind of a class again, I would start with the values that we have in common and then talk about the different ways we expressed and embodied them and lived them out. And that, I think, too, is the kind of unity that Jesus is praying for his church, that we, his disciples, would be united in our commitment to show love, care, respect, compassion, and consideration for each other, like what Jesus shows to us and like what we saw in the drama. That kind of unity we can have even if we are not in agreement about all matters of politics or doctrine or ethics or whatever. We can still unite around a common commitment to Christ and keep that commitment to Christ and to each other, to treat each other like Christ and like we would want to be treated. And that's also what I see us celebrating today in our partnership with Bridging Cultures Can Be. What we see here is, again, a unity around a few key values, even with our ethnic and linguistic and other kinds of diversity. In that way, this prayer of Jesus, that they may be one, is being answered or expressed even in our partnership and relationships with folks through Bridging Cultures. Now, if the world could have achieved this kind of unity on its own, we would not have needed Jesus. We would not have needed him to come and pray for our unity and labor for it. But it is he who makes this kind of unity possible for us. If we then would draw nearer to our neighbors, as Bridging Cultures helps us do, we then would draw nearer to each other, seeking a unity of care and commitment and consideration. Let's keep drawing then nearer to the one who is drawing all nations and all people to himself, to unite us all with his Heavenly Father through his Holy Spirit. And such a unity is possible for us, I believe, more and more, until that day when it is perfect, complete, and eternal. Amen.
In response, let's please stand and turn and sing The Journey to number 56. Number 56.
There is a victory upon the Lord, and where Hello. Hello. I'm going to be sharing a little bit this morning about Bridging Cultures, Candy, and the partnerships that we have. And we just want to especially thank Zion for all that they have helped us with. And we just wanted to give you a little update on what we've been up to and are going to be up to. See if this works. Perfect. So the first program I wanted to just mention is our ESL classes. We've had ESL classes for this whole year. We've had three terms, fall, winter, and spring. And these are for adults that come, and we have two different classes. We have an advanced class and a beginner class. And we've been partnering with Clackamas Community College with those teachers. But a lot of our tutors are from Zion, so we appreciate that, and from the community as well. So those have gone really well, and we look forward to continuing that next school year. The next thing I want to talk about is our summer picnics in the park. These just kicked off yesterday. We had our first picnic. And our next picnic will be on June 3rd, Saturday, June 3rd. And it'll be at Locust Street Park. And we would love for anyone that wants to come to attend. It's always great food. You get to chat with people and just build community, make friends. And again, the food is really good. And there are, when you go out to the meal, we do have schedules on little flyers if you want to grab one so you know all of our events. We do have one event in Waite Park. That's kind of our bigger picnic, and that will be July 15th. So I hope people will come to that one as well. And then on August 12th, we have our, I think it's our 9th or 8th annual trip to the beach. So we've taken 5-6 buses of people over to the beach for the day, lots of good food, time on the coast. It depends on the weather. It was a little cold that year, so you can see people wearing their sweatshirts. But if the weather is nice, it's a really great time, and it's fun either way. And we have lunch and dinner all together. It's a really good time to make friends, and we appreciate anyone that can come and wants to be a part of that. That's August 12th this year. If you want to sign up, just let us know. Another new program, newish, it's our second year doing it, is our STEAM summer program. This is science, technology, engineering, art, and math, and it's run by Adam Gingrich. They do computer programming with the kids. It's fourth graders, and they get to learn, they get to build their own computers and program them. It's pretty cool. So that will be happening at the end of July and through mid-August. So we're excited about that continuing, and we're trying to have children from different backgrounds coming so they can work together. It's a really good opportunity. And then in November, we have our annual Thanksgiving celebration. Last year, we had 450 people, we think, and I know a lot of you attended, which was awesome. It was a wonderful time, awesome food. It's just so cool to see everyone from the community coming together and celebrating both Latino foods and Anglo foods. It's a lot of fun. And then we've been doing several different types of immigration events. So we've had Know Your Rights events where people come and talk about immigration rights. But more recently, we've been doing events related to passports, which I know Zion has been partnering with somewhat. And we've been trying to get passports for children for in case it is needed. And then also we've had events with lawyers coming to help parents with paperwork as far as different things, legal things to do with their children. So that's been a really good thing as well. We just had one of those events, and there will be more coming. I don't know the exact dates, but that's we've had kind of those are on an as-needed basis. And then more recently, we've been working with the Concilio, which is our Latino council. So we have people from the Latino community that are kind of starting to bring their own issues forward, and we're working with those. They've been in contact with city council, and there's becoming maybe even a more formal relationship there. So it's really exciting to see members from our Concilio stepping up and becoming leaders in the community. So I just wanted to again say thank you. We couldn't do what we do without you guys at Zion. You guys provide a lot of support financially, but also when I think of all the volunteers and just coming to our events, just coming and being part of the event is the biggest thing that you can do, I think, is participating. So anything you can do to come and come to a picnic, come to the beach trip, come to Thanksgiving dinner, we would love to have all of you participate. And again, the financial help is greatly appreciated as well. So at this time, I'm going to invite Angelica and Jorge and their son Jorge to come up, and Wendell, and they're going to share a little bit about their experience with bridging cultures. The lights. Where do you guys want to stand? You guys can stay here. Is that okay? Yeah, I'll ask the questions. Okay, so we just have I'm going to ask a couple of questions, and they'll answer, and Wendell will translate. So, the first question I have is, how have you been involved in bridging cultures? How have you been involved?
Pues es la primera vez que estamos en el frente del público. Pues aquí venimos a una fuente de la cultura que nos está ayudando a muchos. Hemos estado con ellos en todos los programas que han hecho. Nos ha ayudado a
I'm sorry, it's the first time I've been in front of this big of a crowd. we participated with a number of different things in bridging cultures.
Me han dado que cuando conocimos en los programas, ellos nos ayudaron y hemos ido a la playa y también nos han ayudado en la iglesia. Es un de parte de cómo sacar nuestros pasaportes, mm-hmm.
One of the things that we participated in was the beach ship, was where we got to know bridging cultures, but lately we were also a part of the event where they helped our children get passports. I would just like to say thanks because of being able to participate in the beach trip and English classes. Children's passports. Thanksgiving dinner too. Thank you for everything.
And the other question I have is, why do you like to be a part of bridging cultures?
Este programa es muy bueno, estamos conociendo gente nueva y cierta amistad.
I think this program is really good because we get to know new people, we make new friends.
Conociendo alguien más que nosotros no sabemos en realidad como ahora, aquí donde venimos, no sabemos que está la iglesia aquí y pues ahora venimos ya. Estamos conociendo más.
It's like today, I didn't even know this church was here, and we're getting to know new people. And some things that we really need, we get access to, like some kinds of information.
I think that's
it.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
So we'll do the offering now, so the ushers can please come forward. bow our heads. We give our offering hopefully, hoping that you can use these gifts, hoping that these gifts can further your kingdom, hoping that your kingdom will come. Your kingdom, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.
Todos nuestros amigos y vecinos, hermanos de esta comunidad, les digo a ustedes bienvenidos. Muchas gracias por venir. I say thank you to our friends for coming and sharing with us today. As we gather now in prayer, I'd also like us to remember the church that is not with us today. There are members of our church who are out at Drift Creek Camp this weekend for a work weekend, and who will be returning maybe even now or very, very soon. Let's keep them in our prayers, but also acknowledge with gratefulness that that is also Zion Mennonite Church and the Church of Christ as they gather with other people for that event. Let's remember also the church that cannot be with us for reasons of health and infirmity, such as Shirley Martin, who is still at the hospital recovering from the heart surgery or heart ablation that she had this week. And Jean, I take it that we'll be, Jean Gush, I take it we'll be missing you next week. May God bless the surgery that you'll be having on Thursday that I know that you have long awaited for your back. Janet, for those of you who are visiting, our other pastor, Janet Gingrich, is also out with the folks at Drift Creek Camp. And yes, what other items of prayer and sharing can we share?
Olive Kanagi.
Oh, yes, that's right. Thank you for bringing Olive Kanagi to our attention, who is at a room there at the Rehabilitation Center there at Marquis Center in Hope Village. And I guess the family is still waiting to hear what is next in terms of her health and care. Leroy is recovering from his fall and his injury last week, so keep them both in your prayers, too. Yes.
I have two things. One, where I work at Providence Benedictine, one of the Benedictine themes is that when you're serving others, that you're serving them as if they were serving Christ. And that kind of goes along with your drama with the monks. But also I wanted to give an update on Christian and Harley praises and prayer requests. They found a church family at University Mennonite in State College, Pennsylvania, and they're beginning their pre-marriage counseling there, so I just would ask for prayers for that process as they prepare to be married. And also he has a job interview tomorrow for a full-time position at the hospital. He's been working kind of some odd jobs here and there, but this would be a permanent position, so prayer for that process for him.
Thank you, Kelly. What other things can we be bringing to prayer today and this week? Becky.
I'll be leaving this next Saturday for helping my daughter get ready for her wedding on June 3rd. And it's an exciting time. Matthew has his bow tie ready, and I have a new string of black pearls. But please just pray as these two families come together. Even Matthew and I's family hardly see each other. And also then now Nick and Emily's family. And please be in prayer for us. We'd really appreciate it.
Indeed, yes, thank you. I'm amazed often at the number of details there are to attend to as we approach. Yes, Anna.
The woman who, well, there's a whole family my mom's been helping with in Salem, the refugee family from Somalia, and the woman gave birth to a very large, healthy boy, but no one really knows what his actual due date was supposed to be, and the doctor was recommending having her induced, and she declined that, and so she actually ended up having a C-section and having complications after that and stayed in the hospital longer than she was supposed to, so she is home now, but just prayers that she continues to recover and doesn't have any more complications, and it's been hard for their family. There's a lot of other children that need attention too, so.
Thank you, yeah. Yes, there's one question.
I have a cousin and his daughter were in a very terrible car accident Friday night. They were hit head on. And the girl, Rebecca, 16 years old, she had to have surgery on her eyes and her face Saturday morning. Both arms and both legs are broken. And Larry is not as bad off, but they are still both at OHSU. Larry Funkhauser is my cousin and his daughter, Rebecca.
Thank you. Are there other testimonies, reflections, or cares, or joys we can share for our prayers today? Well, again, I invite you to join me in prayer, and especially when we bring it to close with a prayer that unites Jesus' disciples across all time and space, the Lord's Prayer. Let's pray. Holy Lord, on the night that death and all the powers of hell drew near to you, you drew near to your heavenly Father in union through the Holy Spirit. And there you found the power to resist the last and the worst temptations and assaults of evil. And there you found the power in that relationship to triumph over death and through death. As you drew near and consecrated yourself as our high priest in heaven, you also brought us with you so that we might be enthroned with you in the glory of reconciling love. Here and now, in this fallen and divided world, we do not always experience the kind of union for which you prayed. Or we only know it in glimpses and moments. But we believe that your prayer for our unity with you and with each other will be answered in full on that day when the new Zion makes heaven and earth one. Even now, help us to know and to show a growing and greater unity with you, a unity of our wills, a unity of our character, a unity of our covenant and commitment to one another, a unity of conduct towards each other, so that we might know and share a growing and greater unity
with you and all your disciples everywhere. Thank you for our friends and partners in Bridging Cultures. May we and they be tools together in your hand for forging a greater love and understanding of each other in this community. Bless this partnership with every spiritual and material gift necessary for doing your will. This we pray as well for our other ministry partnerships, like the Jubilee Food Pantry and Hope Village, Canby Center, and others. Thank you, dear God, for the joys that have been shared, such as for Christian and Harley, and the fellowship that they have found, and the job that might open for him. Bless and guide them in this special time of life. And also as Emily and Nick prepare to marry, and all the family that is gathering, let your blessing be upon them, as well as that blessing that carries us through all details, dear God, and that also helps us see and remember ever the bigger picture of your love working through us. Your blessing, we pray, upon all who are facing or recovering from health issues and medical treatment, such as Shirley Martin, such as Olive and Leroy Kennedy. And for Gene, may his surgery this week provide relief and release from pain and greater release for your service. We pray as well for those among us who are beginning a summer away from school or even a new life with school ended. May they know your grace and your guidance through this new stage. And in particular, we lift up those who are graduating from our seminaries and who are offering themselves for your service. And for those who continue their studies, such as David Gingrich. Dear Lord, lift up, we hear our concerns as we lift up also Larry and Rebecca, praying as we do for their recovery, but also for their family and friends, supporting them during this time. And for our refugee family friends, the Somali family, and that mother in particular with a new baby in Salem. We pray also your blessing and guidance upon them. Thank you for all the people who are welcoming them and supporting them. May they see Christ and all these friends gathered around them, O Lord. Hear our prayers as well for all public servants who lead and who serve a fallen and divided world. Whether we're praying for the presidents and the prime ministers of our countries, to the leaders and the servants of our states, our counties, our cities, such as teachers and peace officers and others. May your spirit of truth ever witness to them of truth, of integrity and compassion, and may your spirit protect them from the dangers and temptations that come with their service. And may we also support and respect them, their offices, and the common good that we share and care for, so that their service is less of a burden and more of a joy. For in this life we would so live and so relate to each other that we are already becoming, that the world is already seeing in us, the answer to the prayer that we pray with Jesus and his disciples whenever we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Please stand and turn in your hymnal to number 420. Number 420.
Thank you.
instructions about the meal for Bridging Cultures that will be served when we go in. Instead of lining up in the hallway like we typically do, please go into the gym and find your seat at the table there. We'll have a prayer for the meal, and then we'll dismiss tables one by one to go through the line. Go in peace.